Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Damage Report. I'm John Iderula, and we are now in day 3 of the Kavanaugh hearings. And just in the time when we're doing our production for the show, things have really heated up with calls to bring it, which we'll be breaking down. But it's also been hot from the first day when I believe 72 protesters were arrested at those Kavanaugh hearings. And I am thrilled that we are joined in studio by one of perhaps the most high profile of those arrestees, actress and activist Piper Perabo is joining us in studio.
Nice to be here.
It is great to have you here.
Thanks.
I've been following you and your social media activism for quite a long time, and you've put your body on the line in this case because of your concerns about Kavanaugh and what he would represent on the Supreme Court. So we've got a lot that we're gonna talk about today, not just with Kavanaugh, but many topics. But on Kavanaugh, I do wanna start with your experience. What was your goal in protesting his nomination hearing?
I felt like, because Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator in a felony charge, that he shouldn't be allowed to appoint judges right now. Mm-hmm. And they're rushing this through, and we don't have the votes to stop it. And so I had to do something. And you can't just sit on Twitter and say you disagree. Eventually, you have to do something. And an activist that I know, Audie Barkin, mm-hmm. Had said to me one time, getting arrested is a privilege because it requires citizenship and bail and time, and you have to be okay missing work. And so ever since he said that to me, I thought, oh, I'm gonna wait until something is really important, and then I'm gonna get arrested for it.
Yeah, and it certainly is. I mean, people who are working, 1 to 3 jobs can't necessarily afford it. I mean, they don't have time to vote, let alone time to spend a few nights in jail. So I appreciate you doing that. And you were one of many who were arrested. What was the reaction like to what happened?
Do you mean in the room?
In the room at the time, but also, how have people greeted that action since then?
In the room, I was kind of scared. Mm-hmm. I've never been arrested before, and that room was packed that morning. I mean, like to the rafters, in all the galleys, there was so much press, every seat was taken. And in general, I don't really believe in interrupting, so I was really nervous to interrupt senators. But once it started, then it was just sort of we were doing what we had planned to do, where each person would stand up and say why they objected to this nominee. And so once we started, it was easier. And then after it happened, the police take away all your possessions when you get arrested. Mm-hmm. So there were hours that went that I didn't know what was going on in the hearings. But when I got out, people were, it was kind of a mixed reaction. I mean, my friends and family were really supportive. And then, of course, on Twitter, you get a lot of trolls and haters.
Yeah, and there's a particular component of that reaction that I want to focus on. But I believe we also have some video of the actual arrest happening. So why don't we roll that? Rough there.
Yeah,
you could see on your arm.
Yeah, well, they're police officers.
Yeah,
civil disobedience.
I guess we've seen worse.
Yeah.
Okay, so you referenced haters and some people. Protest is an interesting thing because, of course, it's one of the most important rights that we have and responsibilities that we have as Americans to make our voice heard in a variety of different forms. But there's so many protest movements that the right just does not accept. I mean, we're going to talk later on the show about Colin Kaepernick and those protests in the NFL, the Black Lives Matter movement, Occupy Wall Street, all of these movements, and including at the Senate confirmation hearings then, that they don't believe are representations of free speech or you exercising your rights. And in particular, one thing that I keep hearing, and I believe there were some politicians saying it as well, is that these women are hysterical. They are just hysteria. They're yelling, they're shouting, they're being emotional. What do you think about that?
I don't really like the word hysterical because it implies that you're emotionally out of control. But I think one of the powers that women have is that we're emotional. I don't think we need to hide it or apologize for it. I think it moves people when you see people that are emotional because they're so passionate about what they care for. And I don't think we as women or as people need to not get emotional when that's how you're feeling. I mean, I think you need to try and conduct yourself appropriately or professionally, depending on the situation, but we're performing civil disobedience and getting pulled out of the room by a big cop. So, yeah. Like, we're going to raise our voices.
And the idea that what you're doing is just being emotional, it's not about your concerns about what he'll represent on the court over the next 2, 3, or possibly 4 decades. You're just being emotional.
I mean,
you don't really know where he stands on the issues.
I mean, I am emotional, but I'm emotional about those issues. Mm. I'm emotional about my equal rights. I'm emotional about voting rights. I am emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've broken down the history of the term hysterical and how it's been used in the past on the show before. It almost only gets applied to women, which I find to be very interesting. So I want to talk a little bit more about this area, because there's multiple areas of concern about Brett Kavanaugh. The fight over the future of Roe v. Wade is perhaps the largest. And I saw that you had tweeted out earlier today an excerpt from an email that he had sent. Now, he has been saying from the beginning of these hearings, I'm going to be just a fair, neutral judge. Roe v. Wade is the stated law of the land. And, you know, I'm just going to take things as I see them. But if we could bring up this first graphic, you're going to see part of that email. I want to focus on the section that you'd circled at the bottom, saying, I am not sure that all legal scholars refer to Roe as the settled law of the land at the Supreme Court level, since court can always overrule its precedent, and 3 current justices on the court would do so. The point there is in the inferior court point. So he goes on to other points. But what he's saying there is he doesn't actually think that it's a settled law of the land, or that this, it being the settled law of the land, actually matters. And so I am curious if you pointed out that we don't currently have the votes necessarily to change that, although we've got the phone number at the bottom to hopefully put pressure on some senators who might. How much faith do you have that if he gets on the court by the end, by 2020, by 2024, Roe v. Wade will even exist?
Whoa.
Sorry to hit you with that early on in the show.
I mean, like, I'm just still like, if he gets on the court, like, you know, he says in the hearings that there's precedent on precedent because of Roe and then Planned Parenthood and that he just is going to follow precedent. But you can tell, and you can tell that that's not true and how he personally feels. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of relying on this thing that I think Ginsburg started, where they don't answer except based on precedent. And so he can sort of hide behind that.
Yeah.
And so we need these documents so that we can see how he really feels. And also Trump said that he wants to pick a judge that would overturn it.
Yeah.
So I feel sure that he will.
Trump had said during the campaign that he wants there should be punishment for getting an abortion.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what we can do if he gets on the court is really focus on our state legislatures, because that's who's going to decide the law in your state. Mm-hmm. And it's going to all go to the states. And so then that's why it's so important in these primaries and in the midterms that you don't just vote at the top of the ticket, but you really look at your state legislature, because that's who really decides what's going on for you, especially in an administration like this.
Yeah, and hopefully people are paying attention. There have been a great number of candidates at the state legislature, you know, state house, state senate level that have been just awesome. And we've been profiling many of them. I don't know if you know, but we've been doing live primary election coverage for every single one of the primaries so far. And we'll be doing so tonight for Delaware, actually. There's some great candidates who will be voted on tonight as well. And the states, I think you rightfully point out, if he gets on the court, if the war against Roe v. Wade moves to its next phase, the states are going to be the place where we can potentially avoid some of the damage. But they're also a cause of concern for me, because while he can say that it's the settled law of the land, if you live in a lot of parts of the country,
right,
especially Texas, what does that settled law of the land even mean? At the state level, they've continually taken chunks out of the protections that you have. Your reproductive rights mean less every year than they did the year before. You might have to drive 500 miles to get an abortion.
Right, and that's not possible for many people.
You might have to go 2 days in a row. You might have to pay large amounts of money. You might have to sit through purposefully emotionally damaging and generally false presentations of information and images and all of that. And this is one of your fundamental rights that you've had for longer than I've been alive.
Well, Kamala Harris said to him yesterday, to Kavanaugh, do you know of any law that deals with
a male body?
A male body, male health. Yeah. And he sort of said, no, I can't think of any.
Exactly, yeah, that was a great point by her. I've tried since then to come up with something to play devil's advocate, and I'm not entirely sure. There's not a lot of...
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
I don't know. In terms of actually something so consequential that the effect that the government power has over you is that your life is totally different one way or the other. I don't think there's anything like that. And we just take it as a given, a significant portion of the country, that we should have that power over women.
I think if there was a law where the government could have say over a man's body,
more
men
fight.
Might think differently.
Just perhaps. Okay, we are going to take our first break, but when we come back, there's much more to talk about these Kavanaugh hearings, including Cory Booker facing possible expulsion from the Senate to reveal information about Kavanaugh. And I want to return to something we talked about yesterday, which is Kavanaugh's interaction 2 days ago with one of the fathers of one of the students slain in Parkland. There's a new video showing a bit more of that interaction. We'll have that for you after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. In this block, we're going to talk more about the Kavanaugh hearings, but there is a lot more coming up on the show as well. We're going to be talking about the op-ed published in the New York Times yesterday from the resistance happening inside of the White House, exactly how excited we should be about that. We're also going to be talking about one of the developments in Robert Mueller's investigation of Donald Trump and what appears to be a bit of a concession, but we'll break that down for you. And as I said, we're going to be joined later on by Francis Maxwell of TYT to talk about Colin Kaepernick and the new ad that we'll be playing at an upcoming football game. But first, if you've been following along with these Kavanaugh hearings and you'd like to have your voice be heard, you can, of course, tweet us. We love hearing from you. But perhaps more importantly, your senator should hear from you, and you can call 202-804-8191 to contact your senator and hopefully put some pressure on them to vote the right way when it comes to Kavanaugh. Now, back to those hearings. You had referenced, Piper, the Kamala Harris a question of him that he did not have an answer for. We do have that video for you, so here it is.
Can you think of any laws that give government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm happy to answer a more specific question. But
male versus female.
There are medical procedures.
That the government has the power to make a decision about a man's body?
I thought you were asking about medical procedures that are unique to men. I'm not thinking of any right now.
That seems like an opportunity for a little bit of self-reflection analysis at a deeper level than just that one question about the relationship between the government and women's bodies. I don't think he's actually going to have that moment.
No, although he had it right there on camera.
Well, he was
trying. He was so like, I've never thought about this in my life. You could see all the wheels spin.
And imagine, like, I have been unable to come up with one because one does not exist
Thank
so far
you
as I know.
Thank you for thinking about
it. I've tried harder than Brett Kavanaugh, but like, it's not like they couldn't. I am on a day-by-day basis wrecking my body with my addiction to sugar. The government could step in and we'd probably save a lot in healthcare spending, but they don't. They don't control that, and that's less consequential than whether I would bear a child. Mm. But of course they don't do that. Okay, now
I was going to say like Senator Harris.
There
She's
you go.
She's killing it. She's amazing.
I pray that I never asked a tough question about her because I will wilt under that pressure.
Yeah, me too.
So we also mentioned a new video showing, at least to me, a different angle on the first day of the hearings. The interaction between Fred Gutenberg, who's appeared on this show, obviously the father of one of those slain in the Parkland shootings, with Brett Kavanaugh. An opportunity for Kavanaugh to be the good family man we keep hearing that he is. He cares about family. Well, here is a family that has been torn apart by gun violence. Let's see how he responds. Who approaches Kavanaugh with a friendly look on his face, reaches out his hand, and Kavanaugh turns. And now in that video, we can see his face better with a look that to me reads as disgust.
Well, and it looks like from the video that he says, like, I'm Fred Gutenberg, yes. I'm Jamie's father. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And nothing.
It's so heartless.
Yeah, and you're seeing
look
the other
at his like
too.
Superior disdain. It's so gross.
He does a thing. Come back to me. This is a thing that guys can do to show disdain and superiority. If you do that,
yeah,
that is an arrogant thing to do for no reason. And he had no
interest
in actually
talking. Well, it's just so closed.
Yeah, like you're not going to get
to
me.
You know what I mean? I'm a suit.
Yeah. Well, he's wearing a suit too, and he's also gone through a terrible experience. And you supposedly care about gun violence. You don't necessarily want to do anything about it, but you say that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So there's thoughts and prayers and not shaking a hand. Those are the three things, the three pillars of the right's approach to gun violence there. So that is unfortunate. But I do want to turn to one of the sort of breaking interactions in day three of these hearings, and that was Cory Booker.
Yeah.
We were talking about it before the show, actually. Quite an exciting moment where there's so many of these documents that they refuse to actually let the senators see. Not let us see, obviously. That's never going to happen. They won't even let the senators see. And one of those is being held back because supposedly it has to do with national security. Well, Cory Booker says it doesn't have anything to do with national security. It has to do with racial profiling, and he can't have it. We can't see it, except that he might actually be willing to break the rules. And then this happened.
Officer or employee of the Senate who shall disclose the secret or confidential business or proceedings of the Senate, including the business and proceedings of the committees, subcommittees, and offices of the Senate, shall be liable, if a senator, to suffer expulsion from the body, and if an officer or employee to dismissal from the service of the Senate, and to punishment for contempt. So I would correct the senator's statement. There is no rule. There is clearly a rule that applies.
Then apply the rule, Chairman, and bring the charges.
So we don't often hear "bring it" dropped.
Bring it.
Yeah. So he was. He's willing to potentially face some sort of consequences, expulsion, which almost certainly will not happen. Although we do live in crazy times. So who knows, to have this information be made public. How did you react to seeing that this morning?
I mean, that's the first time I've seen the clip. I just heard about it. But even, I mean, that there are documents that the senators can't see is so insane. But even the fact that the public can't see them, because if the public can't see them, a senator can't ask a question in a public forum. So anything that the public can't see, they can't ask Kavanaugh about in these hearings because we're watching. Yeah. So. I mean, I'm just against this not letting us see the documents. This is supposed to be like an open hearing for a Supreme Court justice who will decide the law of the land for all of us. So we need to see these documents. And I love that. I mean, I'm from New Jersey, so I love that Booker said bring it.
Yeah, I question a lot of Cory Booker's moves because we acknowledge, you know, he's running for president. That obviously that's going to shape the actions of everyone. So I don't want to be too hard on him there. And if you start acting a certain way to run for president years later, at a certain point it becomes a little bit indistinguishable from just how you actually act if it's going on for years. But we can still analyze all of these actions with a critical eye too. But what he's doing there is good. If it provides more information, I think that's a good thing.
Well, and I haven't seen the rest of it, but what I was told was that other senators stood with him and said we're in agreement with him. So it's not like he's just acting on his own. It's a collection of people that believe this.
I saw Dick Durbin had said something, and also one of the senators of Hawaii, I believe. I saw reference
Hirano.
To that as well.
Yes. And I think Feinstein, too.
Oh, Feinstein did as well. Okay, I didn't see that. Which is certainly good. We need more of this information. And they're trying to
pitch our information. And also, when they say it's a national security thing, Bush said you can release those documents. It was they were written under W's presidency.
Yeah, doesn't seem to matter to them right now, in the Senate anyway. And especially when it comes to Kavanaugh, a guy who has lied multiple times under oath about knowing about the enhanced interrogation torture tactics under Bush. He said that twice. It turned out he had lied. He had talked about it in the Bush White House 4 years earlier than he admitted to. So this is a guy that we have no reason that we would give him the benefit of the doubt. He is a known liar, even under oath, even in hearings like this. And so we need the information if he's not going to be forthcoming. And he obviously won't be. He refuses to. Anything that's a hypothetical, he won't answer. Well, these are all hypothetical situations. You're not there yet. It's in the future.
And it's common that justices won't answer a hypothetical. But so the only way we can know how they feel is these documents. And that's how we get the information.
Yeah.
So otherwise, what are we doing in these hearings?
I don't know. And you are 100% right. It is common for them to not do it. And that needs to end.
I think so.
You don't. You exercise more power than anyone other than the president, and perhaps over a long enough period of time, more than the president. So no, you don't get to just hide and, hey, we're gonna roll the dice and I hope we get a good one. I don't find that to be acceptable when it comes to the Supreme Court.
I understand when Justice Ginsburg said she can't rule on a hypothetical, she has to have all the information. I understand that, mm-hmm. But then what are we doing in these hearings? We have to redo the format of how we're gonna talk about a Supreme Court justice. If all we're gonna do is say, I can't answer a hypothetical, then it's nonsense what we're doing.
Yeah, and I can understand a particular case might have some specific things about it that you would need to know. But do you believe a woman should have a right to an abortion? That's pretty specific, and right. I think that you know. I think that Kavanaugh's thought about that a few times.
Do you believe the president can be subpoenaed? Yes
exactly.
or no?
Yeah, and he wouldn't answer that, which to me is an answer.
And it's just, do you believe? We're not saying we're gonna rewrite the law right now based on your answer. We're just trying to gauge what kind of judge you would be.
Yeah, especially in the times that we're living in. Donald Trump is under investigation. His approach to investigations of the president seems incredibly important, especially because he was chosen after that investigation started. It was not lost on Donald Trump that this guy might need to vote on whether he can be subpoenaed, investigated, impeached, whatever. So very important there. We do need to take a break. When we come back, we have one more video from these hearings, and then we are going to move on to the New York Times op-ed, the resistor in the White House, after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're joined still by Piper Perabo, actress and activist, breaking down the news of the day. By the way, if you are listening to this on a podcast, please do me a favor, rate and review the podcast. It both really matters for people discovering this, and also I am oddly focused on this particular metric, so I would love to see that number go up from day to day. But anyway, we return to the Kavanaugh hearings for one last video. Kamala Harris, I believe it was yesterday, this video?
Yeah.
So Kamala Harris
last night.
Last night, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they go on hour after hour after hour. She had an interaction with Kavanaugh about how he had communicated with lawyers, potentially lawyers involved in the Mueller investigation, on that investigation, and it was a pretty awesome interaction. Here it is.
Have you discussed Mueller or his investigation with anyone at Cassowitz, Benson, and Torres, the law firm founded by Mark Cassowitz, President Trump's personal lawyer? Be sure about your answer, sir.
Well, I'm not remembering, but if you have something you want to...
Are you certain you've not had a conversation with anyone at that law firm?
Cassowitz, Benson.
It's a really specific question.
I would like to know the person you're thinking of, because what if there's...
I think you're thinking of someone and you don't want to tell us.
Don't even
all
laugh.
The body
They're
language,
like,
the pen, the hand.
I know. When Kamala Harris does this, mm-hmm. back up.
Yeah, and so we cut that down for size. That went on for minute after minute. He refused to answer it. He said, you saw in that video, Cassowitz? Trump?
I know.
Giuliani? I don't know any of these people.
Maybe I... Can you be more specific? Yeah.
So do you believe that he has had a conversation?
I mean, like, the question is so difficult because we've all had a conversation about the Mueller investigation, and he sort of says that at the beginning, like, it's on the news every day, and I've talked to some judges. But once she says the law firm, mm-hmm. then he's really squirming. Mm-hmm. And I think he's so prepared and he's so ready to go. First of all, I think you can see that he wasn't prepared for that question, and he doesn't know how to lie to her.
Yeah, and so the question is, does she know something? Does she know about a conversation he had? Because he could have very easily said, to my knowledge, I have not had a conversation with them. And that's even something you can sort of squirm, you could use that to squirm out. But he didn't say that. And here's the thing. We know what he thinks about presidential pardon powers, presidential insulation from subpoenas, and even interviews and things like that. He's been on the record for that for like two decades at mm-hmm. this point. Donald Trump obviously knows about that. And when he had a short list of potential Supreme Court nominees, sure, he wants to kill Roe v. Wade, he'd love that. But he definitely doesn't want to end up in jail or thrown out of office. So the idea that is not something he talked with Kavanaugh about seems crazy to me.
Well, and he doesn't answer her question. And when she finally finished that line of questioning, she said, like, we'll come back to this. And mm-hmm. I was like, we will?
Yeah.
Why?
I hope for a reveal.
I know. I feel about. Like she knows something. I mean, she'd be an incredible poker player if that's a bluff.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm bad enough. I don't want to play against her. So let's jump to our next topic. We're gonna be tracking the breaking news as it happens with the Kavanaugh hearings. But I do want to talk about the op-ed that came out yesterday. So the New York Times published an op-ed from an anonymous, apparently high-level source inside of the White House, talking about participating in a right-wing resistance to Donald Trump. And I want to read just a quick couple quotes from this, if you're not familiar with it. He does say of his resistance, to be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed and think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we believe our first duty is to this country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. And if we could just bring up the next one, I'm not gonna read the entire thing, but he talks about conversations involving the 25th Amendment, which would potentially remove the president from office. Again, this is not Rachel Maddow talking about the 25th Amendment. Right. These are people in the Trump administration. So when this was revealed to you, how did you greet the idea that there is someone who supports parts of his agenda, wants to stay in his administration, but supposedly is working to undermine him in some areas?
Well, when I first heard about it, I was fascinated that this came out at all because it's so unusual. But then as I thought about it more, I started to get worried because I thought, is this some kind of move by like a soft coup by Pence? Or like, it's hard to tell why you would do this, especially if you're going to remain anonymous. And no one's talked about the 25th Amendment since way back when he first got inaugurated. They were talks, you know, about impeachment and the 25th Amendment, but not within his own staff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always a speculation about would we be able to convince enough members of his staff? Not that they're already having the conversation themselves. That's certainly true. And I want to return to Pence when we talk about who we think it is.
Yeah.
But in terms of what this resistance represents, why you would publish this sort of thing, it is odd. Some people have speculated, and I don't think that this is true, that this is actually designed to help institute a purge of critical voices inside the White House.
That's interesting.
That someone could be doing this intentionally to get Donald Trump to lash out and remove people who have questioned him and things like that.
Oh, or to give Trump permission to do it?
Like basically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and Trump has really, he's taken that bait, saying,
right,
you know, they should reveal who it is, and if not, we're gonna go around. And if we could jump ahead a bit, he apparently, this is from the Washington Post, reacted to the column with volcanic anger and was absolutely livid, which just sounds like his standard operating procedure.
Right.
I don't know how you really tell the difference.
Right.
But he believes it's treasonous, an act of disloyalty, and he thinks that they might be official working on national security or in the Justice Department. They're not in the Justice Department, they're in the White House.
Right.
But they might well be working on national security. So, some people, though, I want to bring up a couple of these headlines. If you could see, we're going to jump past the Ezra Klein quote. Some people were very excited about this because, you know, we want to see him undermined, theoretically, many Americans. But others are saying things like, you're complicit. This is a constitutional crisis. If you jump to the next one, that's David Frum, so take that with a grain of salt. And then, no anonymous Trump official, you're not part of the resistance, you're a coward.
Whoa, who's so, that? Oh, nice.
Jessica Roy, cool. That's LA Times. So is this just a coward? Many people are saying if you actually oppose him, just step down or remove him from office. What do you think?
I think it's complicated because since we don't know who it is, you know, they say there are like these adults in the room who, Mattis and whoever, who are trying to hold the country together, and that's what the op-ed implies. I mean, I think it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll come out.
You think it's going to be revealed who
yeah.
it was? Yeah. Yeah, I think I have one theory that it's sort of designed to eventually come out, but not soon. But on the coward thing, I agree in part. I think, look, you should remove him because I think he should be removed. But I also have to put myself in the point of view of the person who's, this is a Republican.
Uh-huh.
They want the tax cuts, they want the deregulation. Simply stepping down, okay, then you have no influence over it. I don't know. I think that there's sort of a knee-jerk need to, anyone on the right who criticizes Donald Trump or, you know, does something without literally assassinating the man, we say, oh, it's the resistance. Oh, yeah, great being part of the resistance, Jeff Flake or John McCain.
Right.
You still vote with him most of the time, which is true. But how much of an ally do we expect a hard right winger in the White House to be?
But what do they think? What's the goal of releasing this? I mean, if you're
I have a theory.
Oh, okay.
My theory, and this gets into the question of who we think it is, I think based on the Lodestar thing, look it up, I think that it might be Mike Pence, and I think that it is designed not so much to accomplish anything now, but if Donald Trump is removed from office, or if he resigns, or if he loses his reelection bid in disgrace, then someday Mike Pence can release this, if necessary, to say, I always stood against that bastard. I was the real Republican, the serious conservative, and I stood against him.
Do you think that'll work? I mean, like, if Pence were to come out and say, it was me that wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it would hurt him now. But maybe the Trump supporters will move on at some point. I don't know.
And think he's like a hero for giving like an anonymous thing to the New York Times. Like in a way, it's really risky. And like, I don't think the Democrats are going to turn around and go like, hey, thank you, Mike Pence.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
true.
And then the Republican base is going to say, you sold out the president. So like, yeah. who is your group?
Okay, I feel like I'm with Kamala Harris right now. I no longer support my own theory.
I mean, I like the Lone Star theory.
I
mean,
yeah. I don't know. It's just a theory. Yeah. I haven't thought about it too much. So who do you think it is then?
I don't know. I don't know
Jared?
Who it is. People say it's Jared, but I feel like, I don't know.
This seems like a Jared move.
It's a Jared move? I don't know.
Maybe Jared, maybe Ivanka.
I'd like
I don't
to see
know.
A handwriting sample.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I definitely think you could analyze the speech patterns and the writing. I think people will do that. The problem with it being Jared is that he has never once been on record speaking or writing. So I don't think that we have enough data.
We don't have enough written statements from Jared to know like what his style of writing is.
Ivanka's got a book.
I don't think she uses the term
lodestar, though.
It's a really specific word, and it's an old word. Like, it's an old guy word.
It's like John McCain would use that. It was used in reference to John McCain, but he would actually use that word, I think. Yeah, okay, so we may not know. It might come out soon. I know what's interesting is the New York Times has pointed out, so the op-ed section has this deal with the official to keep him anonymous. But the rest of the New York Times are investigative journalists who are kind of under an obligation to figure it out who it is.
Right, can't you just investigate down in the op-ed office?
Yeah, who's been making trips there? They might have to do that. Okay, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, though, we're joined by Frances Maxwell, a sports reporter for TYT, to break down the upcoming ad, Colin Kaepernick, Nike. It's about to happen after this. Welcome back, everyone. We're now joined on the Damage Report by Frances Maxwell, host of both TYT Sports and The Breakdown, to talk about Colin Kaepernick, the Nike ad, and the right-wing reaction to it. Frances, welcome to the show.
How you doing, John?
It is ridiculous that this is the first time we're having you join us, especially because this story has been out there. But I'm glad to finally have you here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. I don't get enough Kaepernick, despite the fact that I do maybe two videos on it every week on The Breakdown, I think.
Exactly. So we've got the first ad from this Nike campaign has been released. We're actually going to show a portion of that now.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something. Even if it means sacrificing everything.
So, obviously a powerful ad. What did you think of that?
Well, I hear that MAGA are now boycotting kids with dreams, so they're no longer talking about people with dreams anymore. They're obviously, the reaction to this ad is what I expected it to be. Having met with Colin and spoken with him, he always had aspirations of inspiring people. That's why he took this stance, and I think that this ad perfectly encapsulates that. I think that what you see here is a message to people, regardless of what path you take in your career or whatever you aspire to do, go forth and do it with full conviction and understand that there will be those that stand against you, there will be obstacles. But when you fight for something that is worth fighting for, it is worth risking everything, which people would respond to say, well, what did Colin Kaepernick risk? Well, I would respond with, first, you're ignorant and naive if you think that, when the man pledged his life to pursuing a sport that he was very good at, give everything for, and now is no longer able to participate in that sport. That seems to me that when you have to give up your dream to go and pursue another dream, that seems like a pretty big sacrifice to me.
So I'm not sure exactly who you're referring to there, but I did see that Ben Shapiro had tweeted, oh, he didn't sacrifice anything, which is droll coming from a guy who's been handed millions of dollars by right-wing billionaires. So I did not follow his career necessarily. I'm not a person to judge how well he'd be doing in the NFL if they had not been blocking him. So in terms of that, by your estimation, he has sacrificed what could be a very successful career.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so blind in my allegiance towards what he stands for to say that he'd be the best quarterback in the league. I mean, my knowledge as far as that football doesn't go as far as the football that should be called football, the one that I followed and played my whole life. But I'm knowledgeable enough on sport and look at statistics to see that it is absolutely horrendous and just ridiculous to assume that Colin Kaepernick could not get a position in the NFL at the moment. Everyone who understands the sport realizes this. I mean, there's guys out there that have thrown more interceptions in the first 5 minutes mm-hmm. of their game than Colin Kaepernick has in the past, what, 4 or 5 years that he played in the NFL. So the statistics overwhelmingly suggest, and of course the case that's going on right now, that Colin, if you've wondered why he doesn't talk to anyone in the media, not just because his actions speak louder than words, but he's going into a case at the moment against the NFL, a collusion case where they have, he believes they've conspired against him, and anyone who understands what's going on agrees with that. So giving up something that you have dedicated countless minutes towards, that you have been playing your entire life to give a voice to the voiceless. I don't think that when you look at an ad like this, you could find anyone better for that position. And what you'll get is these right-wing conservatives who are exploiting someone like Pat Tillman, despite the fact that his family has suggested stop. Like he of course, opposed the war that he went and fought for, and they are disgraced the fact that people are using him to disparage what Colin Kaepernick has stood for. So you'll find that those on the right wing will try to do anything to diminish this man's message just to detest the fact that a black man gave his career speaking out against a predominantly white narrative, and they do not seem to grasp that in this country that they stand for freedom, and apparently they claim that free speech is a thing, they just cannot seem to get behind the idea that this black man gave his career in order to fight for those who are oppressed.
And so I reference their claim that he hasn't sacrificed anything, which I have heard a number of times. I've also heard for more than a year now, although I've pointed out that this is perhaps the social movement in recent history that has been the most clear about why it is doing what it's doing. Its technique is obviously identifiable. We understand every fact about this, but they keep saying that no, they're either wrong or they're lying. They're actually protesting the cops or the flag or the anthem or the soldiers or Roseanne or God knows what. So they refuse to acknowledge the facts here. What do you think is actually driving their response to Colin Kaepernick? Why is it that this Nike deal has gotten so under their skin that they're literally willing to set their shoes on while wearing them? Shoes on fire, I should say.
Well, it's because of this.
Francis, they're ripping socks apart. Why are they doing it?
And they're doing it whilst they're wearing them. That's very dangerous. But these are also the guys that destroyed Keurigs as well. So I don't think that we can expect anything less. But the thing is, I think it's a broader issue that I've always touched upon since I came here. When you come from a country outside the United States and you come in, you see that there is this overwhelming sense of patriotism. I mean, no other country in the world, I don't think, sings their national anthem before sports games and glorifies it as much as the United States, which, by the way, only happened after 9/11 amidst the movement to exploit one of the worst tragedies ever known to happen on these lands, to go and launch a proxy war and so on and so on. I mean, the NFL actually makes money from the military by glorifying this sense of patriotism. So in my opinion, if you're talking about patriotism, wouldn't you give money back to the military when you're glorifying them? Why would you charge them for that? So when I heard all this drivel amidst the movement against the protest, it's the same way with the All Lives Matter movement against Black Lives Matter. It's just a reason for someone to deflect and diminish the purpose of this cause. You look at history as your case study. Colin looked at history as his case study. I asked him this very same question the first time I met him, is did you know or have an idea that this would happen? This happened in a meeting where I was sitting with him and John Carlos, and he pointed to John Carlos and went, there's my answer. Of course he knew this was going to happen, or this was at least a risk, which is why it's so stupid to assume that he did it for any other reason, if there was a fame reason behind it or a money reason. He knew that a risk could be taken and he could potentially lose his career. John Carlos and Tommy Smith were banned after they took their stance at the Olympics. Muhammad Ali was banned from boxing when he took his stance against the Vietnam War. Muhammad Abdul-Rauf in the NBA was actually boycotted and also lost his position in the NBA when he decided to kneel or sit in prayer. This is something that has consistently happened in the United States, and I don't understand how people can look at history and just obliviously bypass it and not learn from it. Colin Kaepernick took a stance that 20, 30 years from now, the way we look at those who try to force black men from sitting at a diner with white men, the way that people try to force Rosa Parks from sitting at the bus, these people that are setting Nikes on fire, we will look at them in the same way we look at those people during those protests and say, why? What is going on here? Why were you not standing behind a message? And those that claim to celebrate Martin Luther King nowadays, the Ben Shapiro's of the world who will quote Martin Luther King, they would have hated Martin Luther King. They would have hated Muhammad Ali. They would have hated John Carlos and Tommy Smith the same way that they're hating Colin Kaepernick.
I can't disagree with you there. Well, Francis, thank you for joining us and helping break down the situation. Perhaps we'll have you on for the next product that's being destroyed over Colin's name being associated with it. That's Francis, host of both TYT Sports and also The Breakdown. Thank you, Francis. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we've got a little bit more for you, a development in the Mueller investigation. We're going to try to figure out exactly what's going on there after this. Welcome back, everyone, to the little that remains of this episode of The Damage Report. I want to turn now to the Robert Mueller investigation and some news that came out more than a day ago, but I think it's still important and I want to break it down, especially because we have Piper Perabo in studio right now. The development that happened this week was that the special counsel has apparently eased up slightly on his demands for the president's involvement in terms of interviews. So for some questions, he is apparently going to accept written responses, which will totally be written by Donald Trump. He'll totally write it himself. And it will come via DM. And so he will apparently accept written answers from Trump on questions of whether his campaign conspired with Russia's election interference. However, he did not say that he was giving up on an interview altogether, including on questions of obstruction of justice. And that is an area where we might still have sit down perjury trap interview or whatever, where he continually lies and implicates himself. So you have a theory about this.
I was sort of excited when I saw this because, first of all, I think people are getting impatient. And so maybe this helps move the ball down the field, to go back to like our football analogy about getting closer to finishing. I think if Mueller gives Trump the opportunity to answer some questions written, then maybe he'll answer some in person. He'll be so confident, not because that's smart or because Mueller should have to negotiate this, but Trump is very, I mean, hubris is hopefully will be his downfall. So maybe that
he might get cocky.
Yeah. And also, I think in the way that you saw with Kamala Harris asking a question that she knows the answer to, the fact that Mueller will accept a written answer means he knows the answer already. And anything you say will incriminate you. He's not going to do this unless he knows how it's going to play out. This guy like understands the long game. So the fact that he's even willing to do it means whatever you say, he's got you.
He could potentially use it against you.
I think he's that smart.
Yeah. So I think there are two possibilities. I think that you perfectly laid out one of them. I think the other that seems less likely is that he is giving up on the possibility of getting him in for an interview and he wants something. And so getting written responses at least will be something. I don't think that that's likely. I think it's probably more likely at this point that he knows something enough that Donald Trump in his responses, even in written form, could potentially commit perjury. I wonder. Because I made a joke, obviously, before about Donald Trump being the one to answer, but he's not going to. It's going to be his lawyers who are going to write the most carefully worded thing ever. A level of precision Donald Trump's tweets have never reached. And so I really wonder how much information could possibly be revealed in these questions. Even if Mueller does have something and he's ready to spring the trap, will Donald Trump's lawyers be savvy enough to avoid that trap?
I think, look, if they're not savvy enough, if this question is written so perfectly that whether you answer yes or no, you're incriminating yourself, then if they send those things and Mueller can say, whatever your answer was, you're incriminated. Now, either Trump's incriminated or Trump has to say, I didn't answer that. And so he's in trouble for that. You know, he blames it on the lawyers, which you see him do over and over again. Yeah. He throws people under the bus. So if this doesn't go well with the written answers, he'll throw them under the bus. And now he's in trouble. Like, I wouldn't want to play like a board game with Mueller or chess with Mueller because it seems like he's got the whole thing set up. I don't know. That's
I would die. I have like so many board games I would play with Mueller, actually. Just to see. I'm going to lose. I'm not good with them.
No, you're going to lose. Times.
But no, I'll play you in Catan. Anyway, yeah, so really fast. I know we only have a couple minutes later. I'm just curious. You follow this a lot. You think about this a lot. Does Donald Trump make it to his reelection bid?
I don't think so.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, I have high hopes about the midterms, and I have a lot of faith in Mueller. I don't think you work on this investigation to make sure it's perfect and airtight for this long if you don't have anything. He's not up there twiddling his thumbs.
I hope not. And he's got a gigantic team. I will say I am feeling very antsy about the entire thing, and I wish that it would be wrapped up.
It keeps me awake at night.
It feels like it's been going on for a very long time.
I know, but things take time, and this is, you know, you have to follow where it's going to lead.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of work to do.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunately all the time that we have. Piper, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, so fun to do this.
To meet you and do a show. Hopefully this will not be the last time.
I hope not.
And thank you for watching. If you haven't already, rate and review the podcast if that's what you're listening to. If not, if you're seeing this on YouTube, you can, of course, subscribe to see videos in the future. We'll be back tomorrow morning with much, much more for you. Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.